Well, good morning. It is good to be in God's house today. I trust you had a good week in the Lord. It was good to see the great turnout yesterday at the fundraiser for the youth group. It looked to be about 40 or so people that came out and helped raise money to get kids to camp. And looked like they had a good time playing softball and eating hamburgers and hot dogs. And I appreciate your participation in that and helping the kids get there. Now, on that note, the kids have ordered in their shirts already for camp, and it will be for the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally. They're for sale on the back pew back there. It says, Jesus, change us from the inside out. That's the theme of the conference this year, from the inside out. And it's talking about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. Now, the theme is inside out. So when you purchase the shirt, it's printed inside out. We know the tag sticking out here in the back. So it's making a statement. You got to make statements nowadays. So they're there to help you. They'll help the kids purchase them in the back. Back there and see the worker there. There's also some older years from years gone by. They brought them out. If you didn't get one from last year or the year before and would like to purchase one of those as well, that's in the back, back there. And talking about the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally, that is right around the corner, May 20th. If you have helped in time past as far as cooking, security, nursery, bringing gifts, gift cards, bags of candy. We've got to have bags of candy to come in because we're expecting over 300 teenagers, probably about 20 different youth groups, 15 to 20 different youth groups have come in the past. Our goal this year is to have 25 youth groups. So we got to get busy. We've got some flyers that's coming in, some postcards, some tickets that are coming in that are 3x5 shape with the gospel on the back, inviting people this year. So if you pass by a church going to work and we don't know about the church, stop in, put one of those flyers in the door and let them know they're invited to come. So if you're going to help with that kind of stuff, please see one of the youth leaders, Brother Bill or Brother Scott. Brother Danny, Brother Man, Brother Josh, Brother Johnny, or any of these guys, and let them know, their wives, and say, hey, I've got some candy, I've got a gift card. We use the gift cards as door prizes. Help us with that this year that we can put on a good show that when Brother Korn has opportunity, he can preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have folks get saved. Now, listen, it's a youth rally, but it's also for our whole church. You're invited. Please come on that Friday night. I know it's May 20th. It's a long way out there. But if you're available, come and participate and be faithful. Brother Korn, if you've seen him in the past, he does a fabulous job with illusions. I mean, he does a wonderful job. It's first class. I'm telling you, Brother Johnny could work. Brother Korn could work secular doing illusions if he wanted to. But he chooses to use his talents for the Lord. So come and see that and be a part of it. And then the Fishers of Men bowling activity is this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Brother Hector said to remind all men, even if you are not involved in the Fishers of Men program, mentoring one of the boys, young men, you are welcome to come and be a part of that bowling activity. That is this Saturday at 2 o'clock. If you have a son that's not participated in the Fishers of Men Club, bring him, get him introduced to the club. Where's the bowling alley, Brother Hector, down in Kissimmee?
It's
on Vine Street. AMF Kissimmee, 2 o'clock. Come see him. I think it's $16 a person to bowl unlimited. That's 2 o'clock, so make yourself available for that. If you need any information, see Brother Hector. Raise your hand, Brother Hector, over here. See him or his wife after church. They'll get you all the information that you need. Be a part of these young men's lives. You'll change the world getting involved in kids' lives. The same with our Beautiful Girlhood program. Be involved in that. Mentor those young girls that they might grow up to be godly young ladies for God. Okay, I think I've advertised out all those programs I advertised for: Soldiers of the Cross, Fishers of Men, Beautiful Girlhood. I need Coke Zero. You got to pay up. Pay for your advertising. Nothing free in the world. No, I'm kidding. But please make yourself available to that. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Sorry about the lengthy discussion there with the advertisement, but there's so much going on here at the church lately. Make yourself available. Boy, I tell you, it's good to see all the visitors we have today. We have them from West Virginia, from Oregon. We have a church planter visiting with us from Oregon. Thank you and your wife for being with us. We have the Diaz's visiting from Titusville. Glad to have them in, and others that are visiting around, and glad to have Sister Brewer in. The Sister Price's sister. A lot of visitors here. And I forgot your name. The father and sister of the lady who's in the new beginners class. I'm sorry. Glad to have you. Wow. Only reason I remember because he has the same barber. Can't remember the name, but I remember the haircut. John chapter number 3, verse number 8 this morning. We've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter for quite some time through the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 8 this morning. Now, verse number 8, we hit a little bit on it last week, but we're going to spend a whole lot of time dealing with and talking about this verse this morning, a particular person in this verse. Now, I'm going to do my best to finish out today this thought. The thought is the wicked one. The wicked one. It may spill over into next week, I'm not sure, but I'll do my very best. There's a lot of information here to cover. So let's go ahead and read 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now, in this epistle, we are confronted with a real and personal devil. He is called the devil 4 times in this epistle alone. There's 5 chapters. 4 times he's called the devil, and 4 times he's called the wicked one. He's referred to in that he that is in the world once in this here epistle. So 5 times, 5 chapters, 9 times the devil is mentioned personally. But in the Bible, there is 179 references to a personal and real devil. Now listen, he tries to disguise himself. He even tries to deny his very existence sometimes. He tries to deny that he even exists. He disguises, masks himself. Sometimes he even hides himself behind goodness. The Bible talks about him becoming an angel of light. So we're talking about a real devil that does exist. And there is great danger when you give place to Satan. Great danger. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter number 5, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. In verse number 8, now hold your place over in 1 John with a piece of paper or something, because we'll be going back and forth over there. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober." What does it mean to be sober? It means not to be intoxicated. It means not to be mad or insane. It means to not be controlled with insane passion. It means to have regularly exercised a cool, dispositionate reason within your thought. It means to be serious. It means to be solemn. It means to be grave. And the Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant. What's vigilant? To be vigilant means you're attentive to discover, and not only to discover, but to avoid danger. So that's what the Bible's saying here. Be serious. Be solemn. Be not controlled with your outraged passions. You know, here in the day and age which we live in, we hear a lot about road rage. Roads, what happens? All of a sudden, they're out of control by rage. So be sober. Be vigilant. Be attentive to danger. And when you discover that there's danger there, not only just, oh, wow, hey, there's danger. Avoid the danger. Avoid it. I am amazed at the amount of people who come to Bible-believing churches and sit under Bible-believing preachers and teachers, and they study the Bible. They read the Bible for themselves. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm amazed at the amount of families and men and boys and girls and teenagers and young people that sit under and read and study the Bible, and there are dangers that are pointed out and declared to them directly from the Word of God, and they discover these truths and yet do not avoid them. They simply will not avoid them. It does you no good, dear friend, to discover a truth in the Word of God that there is danger, potholes, traps, and you run headlong and run right into it. It's like, you know, many of you have potholes on your road. You know exactly where the potholes are. You pull out of your drive, and down the road somewhere, there's a pothole. It's been there. The county comes by, throws a little sand in it, a little oil in it, and next thing you know, it rains, and the sand and the oil's gone, and the pothole's back there. It's been there. It's been there for years. It'd be like you every day when you get up and get ready to go to work, you sit in your car and you say, when I see that pothole, I'm tired of buying tires, I'm tired of having flats, I'm tired of having front ends out of whack, and you get in your car, you know the pothole's there, and you see it 100 yards up, and you give it a gas, and you go from 50 to 75, and you hit the pothole. So, well, I just thought if I went fast enough, I'd skip over the pothole. That's what we do sometimes. Sometimes as Christians. You know the Bible says, greater is in you that's in me. 1 John 4:4. Greater that's in you. Go to 1 John 4:4. Hold your place back there, 1 Peter. Because I'm coming right back there. 1 John 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I am amazed that we are not vigilant. We're not sober. We're not awake at the dangers and the wiles of the devil. He is a real person. He tempted our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1 through 14. You go there and he tempts the Lord himself throughout that passage. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. And this is why. Because, back over in 1 Peter 5, your adversary, he is not your friend. He is not your buddy. He is your adversary. It would be like a boxer getting ready for a match, a boxing match, and he prepares and he lifts weights, he exercises, and he jumps rope, he hits the bag, the punching bag, he spars with his friend, and he goes and he meets his opponent. The contract is made. And he meets his opponent, and in the news conference, they're facing one another. You know, they're supposed to snarl and make ugly faces and put the dukes up and act like they're really mad at each other. And it'd be like him saying, listen, I'm your friend, and if you dance around enough, I won't hit you. Are you kidding me? The other guy would know he would be telling a lie. The other boxer would understand this guy is not being serious, because as soon as the bell rings, out he comes, waiting to knock him out. Your adversary, he is not your friend. I don't care how much he promised you a good time, how much he promised you that it's not going to hurt, how much he promises that he's going to help you out through life. He is a thief that has come to kill and to steal and destroy, says the Word of God. And the Bible says, because your adversary, who? The devil, is a roaring lion. As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know what the Bible's saying there? Stand fast. Resist. You're not alone in your fight for the devil. You're not alone in your fight against the devil. You are not even the one that's going to win the battle. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Resist Him steadfast in the faith. And God lets us know you're not going about it. You're not all by yourself. I'm going to be honest with you, dear friends. Sometimes it just seems as though we're in this battle all by ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes it's just like nobody else is standing. It seems like everybody calls that which is right, wrong, and that which is wrong, right. It is amazing to me. And you get to look at everything, and God reminds us the same affliction is going on with the brother. You're not alone. But you got to stand fast. You've got to stand fast in the faith. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has a program. A real program. And I'm thinking sometimes we're thinking so sophisticated that we actually miss his program. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, back over in verse number 8. Here's the devil's program. Very simple. Not something so sophisticated that you, it's not covert or overt. It is right in your face. Here it is. What you going to do with it? Verse number 8, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. He that committeth sin. The devil's program, dear friend, is simply this. Sin. Sin. It's been that way from the beginning. Hadn't changed at all. Go with me to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Hold your place there in 1 John because we'll be right back. John chapter number 8. The Gospel of John chapter number 8, verse number 44. That preacher, there's no pawn today. No pawn. The pawn's not going to beat the devil. Preacher, there's no joke. There's no joke that's going to beat the devil. Preacher, there's no history story about that. Hey, listen, the history is this. From the very beginning, he's a liar. John chapter number 8, verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. From the very beginning, it's been all about getting us, men and women, to go against God and to transgress God's word. He abode not in the truth. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter number 28, go to the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 28. Right before Daniel, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, verse number 14. Ezekiel 28, verse number 14. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. I have sent thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Verse 15. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The Bible says that Satan, Lucifer, was the anointed cherub. And he was perfect in the day that he was created until iniquity was found in him. Back over to Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14. Lord, have mercy, preacher. We've already been preaching 10 minutes and you've gone to 18 verses. Listen, I don't want you to know my story on the devil. I don't want you to know my history on the devil. I want you to see what God says about the devil, your adversary that wants to devour your home, wants to devour your testimony, wants to devour your children, wants to devour your wife, wants to destroy your church, wants to destroy this world as we know it. He is a destroyer. Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Listen, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, he was the anointed cherubim that watched over the throne of God. And something happened in his life. He became lifted up in pride. And in his life, he said, in his heart, he said, I will be like the Most High. That's what verse 14 said of Isaiah. Five I wills. There is his claim that he would become deity. And he has been working and wreaking havoc in the lives of people ever since. I said this just the other night. God created trees. He created fish. He created the fowls of the air. He created beasts. He created the stars, the moon, the planets, the galaxy. He divided the waters. He did all this and Satan said, quiet. But whenever he made man, created in his own image, in his own likeness, and he put man to sleep, and listen, he come and God took that rib and he created a woman for that man, Adam, and he made them two, one flesh. I'm going to tell you, old Satan, Lucifer, began to get busy because at that moment God had created something in his likeness and in his image. And he has been at work ever since. Ever since. The devil is a destroyer. Look what we read there in Isaiah chapter 14. The latter part of verse number 12. Which does weaken the nations. Weakens the nations. He shakes kingdoms. Look at verse 16. They that sit shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? And did shake kingdoms. Listen, God understands he is a roaring lion. He's your adversary. I don't understand why we, as God's people, why do we not stick closely to the Word of God when it comes to this matter of the person called the devil? He doesn't want your marriage to last. He doesn't want your testimony to last. He doesn't want your... robbing our children of everything that is right and pure. He is destroying our nations. Hey, I'm telling you something. The devil is right and quickly always involved in politics. Oh, here you go, preacher. Now you're meddling. I didn't say it, dear friend. When the Bible says... that he which does weaken the nations. How do you do that? Through our politicians. He weakens our nation. How has he weakened our nation? Where's prayer in our schools? You think that come from the pulpits and preachers saying, hey, let's take a vote in Washington. Let's get rid of prayer. Our people don't need to pray. No, the Bible says, cease not from praying. Always pray. Where it comes from? When we have the Ten Commandments that is being removed by who? By politicians. Oh no, judges are... Yes, there are judges that's getting involved in politics. Where is that coming from, dear friend? It's coming from Satan himself. Why is it that 3,000 children are put to death daily in America by politicians that are being influenced by Satan himself? He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's a church right now in Daytona, over in Daytona, right this moment is being sued by the county for taxes. Right now. Where's that coming from? The county commissioner, the tax collector for the county. He is a politician. Satan is involved in politics. That's why, church, I'm telling you that we need to spend time in prayer for kings. Oh, but I don't like President Obama. Let me tell you something. God sits them up and God takes them down. And whoever God puts up, it is our job as God's people to lift them up in prayer. I don't like the way our direction in our country is going, dear friend, but it is a flashlight and a microscope and a thermometer on the way Christianity is going in our nation. God gives us direct commandments that we are to be prayerfully lifting up those which are in power. When's the last time you prayed for President Obama? When's the last time you prayed for Governor Scott? When's the last time you prayed for Alan Grayson? John Michael? When's the last time you prayed for Mayor Jacobs? Mayor Dyer, you live in Orange County, Orlando. But this isn't, listen, church, this isn't an easy message for me. God led us to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of 1 John. Go back to 1 John, chapter number 3. I cannot, as God's man, stand up here and just skip past verses in the Bible because they make us uncomfortable. I cannot just say, oh, well, I know that my people, my parishioners, those who come here to church, even visitors, they're going to want to hear a sermon on Satan. But God put it in His Word. And His Word is settled forever. And He's warned us that the devil is an adversary, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And churches and families and men of God and good women that are in the church serving are being destroyed by Satan. Because we think not of the trap that is before us. We're bigger than that. We can handle that. We can do this. We can overcome. Listen. We are not overcomers without Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen. Think about it just for a moment with me. I'm not going to go over there. You can read it on your own. But in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. I mean, he was a great king that was a wicked king. He lived for himself and for his flesh. He lived for everything that he can just devour up. It was all about him. One day he walked out into the midst of the garden that he had built and created. These hanging garden, beautiful. I mean, he had built these here beautiful gardens. And he said, look at what I had done. Look at all that I had accomplished. Where did that come from? That thought came from the devil himself. You remember the devil said, I will be like the Most High. I will be lifted up. He lifts men up in pride. And I'm going to just be honest with you right now. Some of you are sitting here saying, I don't need this message. You're lifted up in pride. You're lifted in pride. You know what the Bible says? As soon as he says that, the Bible says that his heart was changed and he became like a beast. That's what the Bible says in Daniel. Here's the references. Go to Daniel chapter 4. I've got to read it. I told you it might spill over, but some of you looked at me like you didn't change to a beast. Preacher, you believe everything's in that book? I believe everything. If God would have said Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd have believed it. You can believe you fell out of a tree and stood up a man if you want to. You was made and created in the image of God. Where does that foolishness come from? Where do you want to dismiss God? Where does that come from? You think God just says, hey, let's have this here plan that we dismiss ourselves and we'll see if man can find us. That's a lie of Satan that comes into our schools and teaches our children that there is no God. Amen. God didn't play hide and seek with us. It was man playing hide and seek with God back in Genesis. God came down to commune with them and to spend time with them. And as God was there in the garden, he said, Adam, hey, where are you at? And they were hiding. God was looking. God's not playing hide and seek with you. It is Satan that's trying to hide God. I'll show you another verse there in a minute about that. Let's get going to Daniel about this beast, because some of you said, a beast. He turned to a beast? That's what the Bible says. You describe it. Let me ask you, wives. You come home and your husband is in this description here. You tell me what it is. Some of you call them beasts right now. They're normal. They look like every other man here in America. Their feet stink. Their chest done dropped into the drawers if they're over 40. Listen, you call them beasts now. Why are you devouring that supper? It took me all day to fix it. Like animals. What if you came home to this? Daniel chapter 4, I believe it's verse number 17. Thank you. I'm glad y'all are paying attention. You see what happens when you have people, you encourage people to study the Bible? They help you with your messages. It's good to have godly people looking at the Word of God. 16, there's no 16.
Daniel 4, verse 16.
Oh, 16 through 30. Okay, I'm like, where'd 16 go in my Bible? I got ripped off. Some of you have, you know what I'm talking about. Verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by decree of the watchers and the man of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare an interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of the kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretations, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in thee. All right. Brother Jim, I don't think that's it. Oh, yes, it is. Go on down. Go to verse 21. Who's verse 30? There we go. The king spake and said, "It is not this great Babylon that I have built for my own house and kingdom by the might of my power, by the honor of my majesty?" In verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Verse 33, the same hour, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Is that not a beast? Where did that come from? The devil was involved in politics. He weakened the nation. He is weakening our nation. He's weakening our families. He's destroying homes. He is an adversary, seeking whom he may devour. God, preacher, it's not so. Really? I think this North Carolina just passed a law, and I'm going to meddle here just a little bit. Bear with me. That if you are born a man, go to a man's bathroom. Amen. If you was born a woman, go to a woman's bathroom. Amen. And PayPal said they are not going to do business in North Carolina. PayPal said they're not going to do business in North Carolina. Because a man who thinks he's a woman can't go in the bathroom with little girls. But in the state of Washington, when a baker said, I'm not baking a cake, his whole business is put out, and he's paid, he's fined $100-some thousand. I know some of you are fighting mad right now. But it is the God-given truth. And that didn't come from God. That came from Satan. He's weakened the nations everywhere around us. That which is right is called wrong. And that which is wrong is called right. And we as God's people sit back and we see the danger, but we don't avoid it because we're not vigilant. We're not vigilant. Let's stand to our feet. I told you it's spill over to next week. I didn't even get through point number one. I tried, church. I honestly tried. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible has a lot to say about Satan. Our nation needs our prayers. I know this wasn't an evangelistic message this morning, but it's where God put us in the Bible. And I believe in a sovereign God who has a sovereign word that changes not. And somebody here needed this message this morning. If it wasn't but me, I need it. Because I'm telling you, sometimes I get my eyes a little blurred at the dangers of the adversary. And I don't watch over my wife and my children and my family and my church and my friends like I should as a good godly person. It's all, they'll be all right. No, dear friend, he's a roaring lion. What page, Brother Jim?
165.
165, church.